terms of the sequence of what students were asked to do in design journals 1 through 4 and intermittently with their project builders 1 through 3, you can see that the projects beginning with 1 had students thinking in a much more free way. They were very autonomous in what they were creating or developing, that the directive was very loose in terms of what the project could look like or what students could create or write. And it became a little more focused, a little more narrowed, and a little more guided as they moved through projects 2 and 3. This rationale is best explained by seeing what students could do if they were given complete freedom. So allowing them to follow their instincts, whatever they were inspired to pursue, what was natural for them to do in their projects, really kind of lifting the restrictions or expectations in seeing what space they operated best in or how they were able to write best without having really strict, rigid guidelines, which I think traditionally come from high school, middle school, kind of that whole, elementary and secondary school training in terms of English and writing. Students are often very directed in what to do. And here I kind of flipped that over and said, hey, let's kind of just shake it up and take away all of that and see what you can do. See what you want to do. Really kind of get in touch with your ideas and try to determine how to work those ideas out on paper or on the screen. So once students were able to do that and see what they were coming up with, I was able to give feedback and direct them in terms of what would be working on audiences, what would be impactful, what wouldn't be, what was clear, what was unclear and needed some more work. So I was able to kind of meet them where they were and kind of help them improve or make more clear what they were trying to achieve in their project. And I think that that worked really great because it supported them, it encouraged them, it excited them. Even though it was a little scary at first, they definitely were able to embrace that and see what they could come up with. Now, again, moving into project 2, which was a rhetorical analysis, and they had a very particular directive in terms of choosing certain elements to analyze and kind of thinking about the rhetorical nature of those elements and the kind of work that those elements did, oftentimes according to the appeals. You know, was what was happening in their artifact an appeal to emotion? Was it logical? Was it building credibility? So on and so forth. And so again, those movements students were making in their design journals and project builders, my hand in it was a little more heavy and a little more guided. Once they got to project 3 and their project builder 1, which is their first draft of project 3, which was an argumentative piece. So developing an argumentative piece themselves by thinking about what elements they would have to include and what components would be necessary in terms of their reasoning and their lines of evidence and supporting evidence. I then at that point in their project builder, just prior to their project builder, was able to say, hey, as you draft this, I want you to be thinking about possible structures for how to make that as effective and clear as possible. So not that they had their freedoms taken away in terms of the topic or subject matter or issues that they were dealing with. They also had some freedoms in terms of modality because they could produce verbal pieces where they would be performing them. Some chose to do that while others chose to actually write through, but they weren't necessarily a traditional argumentative essay. Some students chose to do things where they were writing a transcript for something, or they were writing a letter to appeal to certain bodies, whether they were governmental, political, organizational. But again, it could take on a few different modes and a few different genres. But again, within those genres and within those modes, they still had to determine, because they were making an argument and had to be as clear and effective as possible, I encourage them to use a very logical sequence of, hey, put forth your reason, and then make sure to share different lines of support that are coming out of scholarship, that are coming out of credible foundations and organizations that kind of concur with what it is that you are trying to prove to your audience. And so, again, there's kind of a blend here of freedom, but also narrowing the focus and making sure to say, okay, I see what you want to do here, but this would be probably the best approach to being as effective as possible. And having allowed students so much freedom in the way that they addressed their topic or issue and how they handled the materials in Project One, now getting more refined, more sophisticated, more directed by Project Three, made a lot of sense, because it, again, met them where they were, or took their skill set or wherever they were in terms of writing and sharing their ideas, and said to them, hey, if you do this with it, or if you just reorganize some of these sentences, or if you just change this reasoning and articulate it this way, the support that you found would be much more cohesive and relate so much better, was a lot more of an effective approach to take with students than starting from the traditional line of, okay, here's a template, here's an outline, you will follow the structure, you plug in your information. It's really disheartening to basically become a kind of robot and do the same work that everybody else is doing. It becomes also boring to the reader because it's very predictable. So I found that this approach worked best, giving the freedom, seeing where they were, and then honing skills and helping them to develop certain things as particular genres and as different modalities were selected.